Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, Black. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Yes.
Are we on?
Like I said, I'm sorry, people. I have the technical difficulties there. I'll start this again. Welcome to the show. This is the FSP Crew Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, joined by my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be. You want to talk to me. Without further ado, stop the technical difficulties and let this show get on the road. Let's bring in my man from Jersey, Jeff, and my man from D.C., Black. Welcome, guys.
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for the intro, Jerry.
Warn everybody. I thought we was in the Twilight Zone for a second until I heard the host.
Yes,
everything's
yes.
Good.
It's my fault. It's my fault. I had a quick brain freeze. I must have been out in weather too long. Anyway, with that being said, how are you guys doing with the Thursday before Christmas? Today is the 19th, 6 days before Christmas. Are you guys ready for the occasion? Jeff, I know you probably don't celebrate Christmas, but are you ready for your holidays? Let me put it that way.
Well, the thing, you are correct. I do not celebrate Christmas.
Right.
And Hanukkah, I barely celebrate Hanukkah. That's over. But mm-hmm. I do have my Christmas traditions. Usually it involves Chinese food and maybe going
okay.
to a movie or something. But there's
okay.
other Christmas traditions, like going to Atlantic City is a good one.
Right.
And, you know, and these are the things you do if you get a day off for a holiday, you don't celebrate, and most
right.
things are closed.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is if... You know, most of your friends celebrate Christmas, it could be a drag, so you should always, if you don't celebrate Christmas, you should always make sure that you have a few available friends who don't, you know, so you got people
right.
to hang with.
Well, Jeff, before I go to Black, okay, you, quite naturally, everybody has friends that celebrate Christmas if you're not a person that celebrates Christmas. Do you, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'm just curious when you said that. Your friends that wants to celebrate Christmas, do you, for lack, do you visit them on Christmas? Do you see them
not
on
usually.
Christmas?
Okay. Not usually. Because Christmas is usually more about family than friends.
Right.
You know,
okay.
I mean, when I was a kid, a close friend of my father's would sometimes have us over for Christmas dinner. But we didn't celebrate
right.
the holiday. Maybe they'd have us over for dessert or something.
Sure.
But, you know, Christmas is very much, you know, about family. So,
yes.
And, you know,
yes.
there's a lot of people, they're posers, they'll say, oh, I don't really celebrate Christmas. But they do.
Right.
You know, but I really don't, you know.
Okay.
You know, like a lot of people, they claim to be atheist or agnostic or whatever. But believe me, when December 25th rolls around, they're doing just like everybody else. Because I remember
yeah.
once I tried doing a road trip around that time of year, and a lot of people who I thought didn't celebrate Christmas said, oh, well, I got Christmas. I was like, well, I thought you don't celebrate it. Well, I kind of do, you know, to each his own.
Right. Okay. What about you, Black?
I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I haven't done liquor shopping yet. I've been wrapped up in fantasy, man. Fantasy
wrapped up in fantasy. Okay. My question
about
is this.
Christmas right now, my friend.
What's this? What's that?
I can't be worried about Christmas right now. I have a game to try to win, my friend.
Okay. Well, apparently, if that's the case, you still must be involved in championships. Am I right about that?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am, and I can smell the money.
Oh, boy. Well, a word of advice. Don't count your chickens before they hatch, because fluky things can happen. Like I always say this because I've been confident in the past, not this year, but I've been confident in the past, like last year and the years before, about my chances of winning a championship or winning a match. You can put the players in place, but you still have to have a little fantasy luck in order for things to work out. So,
well, you saw what happened last week. I prayed to the fantasy guys on air. And they got me to the championship. So at the end of this show, I'll be doing the same thing. And hopefully that money will be in my hands Tuesday morning, my friend.
Okay. Well, it just so happens in your league, I happen to be going for the championship. So, unfortunately, and I'm not putting Jeff on the spot, but unfortunately, I thought I was going to meet Jeff in a spot, and his team did not perform like they would normally, which I was surprised, and I know it was disappointing in Jeff.
Don't feel too sad for Jeff, because you're facing his boy in the finals.
Yeah. It's just that's kind of who I brought into the league, and, you know, for the second time in 3 years, I dominate the regular season and come up short in the playoffs. I mean, I had an 11-game win streak. You know how hard that is?
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
Kyle,
that's extremely hard.
Who I stuck it to him two times during the regular season, but you know what? The playoffs are a one-game season, and there's no excuses, but I couldn't start AP. But that doesn't bother me as much as the fact I wasted a roster spot for almost a whole year on Toby Gerhart, and the 1 week I should have been able to start him, that bum got injured playing half a game the week before. You know what I'm saying? Like, AP, you know, he touches the ball a lot. He's allowed
right.
to get hurt. When you're,
right.
when you're a bench warmer, you're not allowed to get hurt, you know?
Right,
and
right.
I did pick up the third string guy, but I didn't have enough confidence to start him, which, you know, on 30 carries, he got 50 yards, which is pathetic, but three of those carries were touchdowns. But I just
right.
didn't have the guts to start him. And then I also, another guy I wasted a roster spot on, which I really don't like to do, but Roddy White. You know, I benched him for most of the year. He finally
mm-hmm.
gets better, and then he twists his knee, and he's one of these guys. He screws fantasy GMs because he'll play when he's not healthy enough to be effective. You know, you almost feel like saying, hey, buddy, if you're really not going to help the team, don't suit up and do everybody a lot, you know, a big favor, you know.
I think I got rid of him in one of my money leagues on like week three or four. I wasn't
yeah, you, that's what I usually do, but I just nobody really jumped at me to pick up to replace them, and it was always week to week because, you know, to me, usually the way I manage my team, a roster spot is precious, and I don't want to waste a roster spot, but I guess if he wasn't such a good player, you know, I probably wouldn't have done it, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, that's my troubles, but I'm still fighting for it in one league. 96 teams, you know, suicide league, and I'm in the finals, top prize, 1,100. I don't think I'm going to get the 1,100 because the guy in first place is killing it. But I still got a shot to get some money, and, you know, at that league is very, very interesting. And just got 1 week. This is the final week. And another league I'm in, and Jerry's in this league also, the championship is week 17, and I don't like that because week 17 is not for fantasy championships because it's hard enough week 16 with teams resting players and whatnot. Week 17 is a horror show, and it's not a good week for your championship, and I think almost any serious fantasy player would agree with that.
Well, that's true. I happen to be in Victor likes doing that. Vic Gardner likes doing that. So I happen to be in three leagues. One that Ricky's running, that you and I are in, Jeff. One in Yahoo that Vic is running. I happen to be in the semifinals. And also another one he runs in ESPN. I happen to be in the semifinals. The finals, quite naturally, are in week 17, which is pretty tough. And I happen to be in Black final. I happen to be in another free league final. I happen to be in my family league final.
Sounds like you're having a good season.
And I happen to be in another final. In fact, let me put it this way: it's a two week matchup. I smoked the guy so much in the first week. There's absolutely no way unless I bench all my players get hurt all at the same time. Then I'm going to lose. Let me put it that way. So I'm rest assured it's a money league that Vic and I are in, and it's just a matter of them mailing me the trophy and the check. Let me put it that way, because it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. And I'm having a very good season. I'm having an extremely good season. I was in 8 money leagues. And 7 money leagues, and I'm still alive in the playoffs in 6 of them, so or in the championship. So I'm having a pretty good season. No, 5 of them because I lost one of the money leagues last week. I had a guy in one of my leagues. My nephew runs the league. It's a 14 team PPR league, and the guy a few years ago knew nothing about fantasy, and I took him under my wing. And over the last few years, I've been coaching him up on what he should do in fantasy. Well, it just so happened in the semifinals of this year, I go up against what I say is my protege, and he had on his roster Jamaal Charles, Marshawn Lynch, Matt Forte, and he also had Matthew Stafford as his quarterback. Well, needless to say, I had made a good showing of myself, but it was no match for the team that he put up against me. So I feel bad because I lost. I really feel bad because I lost because he had Jamaal Charles, which I was trying to grab from him for the whole season, and he wouldn't relent. And but I feel good for him for the simple fact is I've pretty much showed the guy the ropes, and now he's in the finals and could possibly win over $1,000. So it is what it is.
You are proud dad.
Yes, I really feel good for this guy. In fact, one of my other, he got me into another money league that we didn't do too well, and that's the one I didn't do too well. That's the only money league I didn't do too well in. But I think we're going to have a return trip because that's I think we can win $1,400 in that league. It's like a $200 buy-in, 12-team and I think it rounds out to $1,400 to the winner. So I think I'm going to get back into that next year. Anyway, let's get to this. Now, as you guys know, in the I'm trying to think what game it was. What game was that punter assassinated?
That was the Cincinnati game.
That was the Cincinnati Pittsburgh game, right?
Yeah. And that's usually a hard hitting game.
Yes. The punter punted the ball quite naturally. That's what he does, and he ran down the field and. Every football player is taught, if you're on a field, you got to be your head's got to be on a swivel. Well, his head was on a swivel, and he got collocked just under his chin strap and broke his jaw, fractured his vertebrae, and didn't get the guy who hit him did not get penalized. Needless to say, he didn't play for the rest of the game. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's been a, I won't say a firestorm, but there's been an eyebrow or two raised that what the head official of the NFL came out and said in a statement, and this is no lie. I'm going to play this clip from Mike and Mike about a day or two ago that Mike Golic happened to give his feelings on what was said. Just listen to the clip, and then we'll talk about it when we come back.
Dino Andino has been very busy this year. He's the NFL's head of officials, and he's been busy because the officiating in the NFL stinks.
Horrible.
It's atrocious.
Bad, inconsistent, whatever, however you want to call it, it's been horrible.
Yesterday, he acknowledged, confirming what many had speculated since watching the violent play unfold in the first quarter of Sunday night's game, Bengals-Steelers, that Kevin Huber, when he got lit up, and you've probably seen
him
now,
hit.
Kevin Huber
got
destroyed.
Terrence Garvin hit him from the Steelers, ended up breaking his jaw, cracked a vertebrae, he's done for the year. I mean, he absolutely, and he caught him with his helmet under the chin, and I thought, and my wife, we were watching the game, we thought, okay, he's going to get in trouble for this one. And he is going to.
He should have been flagged,
but
and
quote,
he was not.
I got to read this quote, Greeny.
You want to read it on me?
No, I'm reading it.
You go ahead.
I'm reading it. Dean Blandino, the NFL head of officials, quote about Huber. Huber, he's a punter. And the key is he's defenseless throughout the down. What? What are you saying? The punter is defenseless throughout the down. Now listen, if you want to, I've never heard the word defenseless more than I have in the last 2 years, okay? But if you, when the punter has his leg up in the air, he's defenseless, okay? The quarterback, when he's throwing the ball, he's defenseless. The wide receiver, when he's doing his job trying to catch the ball, all of a sudden, he's defenseless now. So everybody's defenseless. But during those times, but this quote, I kid you not, gang, this comes from the head of the officials. Huber, he's a punter. And the key is he's defenseless through the entire down. If anybody is, if he's defenseless through the entire down, punt the ball and run your little butt off the field. Okay? Seriously. It's the dumbest quote I think I have, of all the ranting I've done about the NFL, this is the dumbest. And every football player or every person who's put pads on should be embarrassed for this quote. He's defenseless the entire down. So a punter punts. We've seen punters make tackles before, have we not? They're the last line of defense. They'll push someone out of bounds. They'll throw their body and probably scream like a woman when they do it and try and, I'm just kidding, knock someone down. But according to the head of officials, they're defenseless the entire down. That's impossible. That's an impossible thing to fathom. Run off the field. How can you even defend this?
He went on to say, even though he's pursuing the play, he still gets defenseless player protection.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because he's not a football player.
Run off the field. Is he allowed to make the tackle?
Yeah.
Is he? No, yeah.
You know, you could put me out there and I could be allowed to make the tackle. Listen, Could anything be more emasculating than being the punter already? Come on. He punts the ball, then he runs down there. I mean, leave it. No one should hit him.
No.
Leave him alone. Let him feel like a football player for a few seconds, run down the field, tell everybody he tried to make a tackle, dive at someone's feet.
Okay, so at least
the point is,
Mike, least you're not defending this guy.
I'm defending
him. No, you're not.
He's not a football player. Don't hit him.
No.
Don't hit him. Leave him alone, for crying out loud.
See,
he punched the ball. He's not a footballer. What did you say when you saw the play? You said, uh-oh, someone tried to play a little football out there. Someone went with a football player because he's not a football player.
But he's allowed to make a tackle.
Leave him alone, but he can't.
Here's the deal. In all seriousness, a punt is a play in the game, and it can be highly effective play if you get a return for a touchdown.
Okay. Jeff, what do you think?
I got to agree with Mike Golic on that. I mean, I've seen a lot of football, and some of these punters and kickers, they are willing to tackle. I'm thinking of guys, even if he's done the league, Neil Rackers used to be a kicker who used to cover his own kicks. And even, I remember many years ago, Matt Barr kicked off for the Giants, and he was a small guy. And he said, hey, if I make a lousy kickoff, I feel bad about it, and I feel obligated to help out on the tackle. Which usually, you know, they're staying close to the sidelines, and they'll shove somebody out of bounds. I think maybe if they really want to protect these guys without making it a farce, then just say that if they want, they could just punt it and run off the field. Because the Giants had a kicker who was pretty good, Raul Allegre. He used to kick it and literally run off the field. And he admitted it, and he said, I used to cover kicks, and then I got injured, and that's it. I don't cover anymore. And you know what? If that's okay with his coaches, then that's okay. But it doesn't make – I mean, these guys are wearing pads, they're wearing helmets, and they're allowed to tackle. If they're allowed to tackle, they're allowed to get blocked. And, you know, there's another – there was the late Sean Taylor, I think, put a block on a punter, and people got excited about that. But hey, the punter was trying to tackle whoever was returning the punt, and Sean Taylor was right. You know, I mean, it is football. These guys deserve some protection, but you know, if they want them to get that kind of protection, then put a skirt on them or something. You know.
Yep. Black, talk to me.
No, all they got to do is enact the Reggie Rossi rule. Get these guys some watches. While they kick that punt, let them look at the watch while the play is taking place. Nobody gets hurt.
I heard this. I was watching this program when he read that. Excuse me. And my jaw just dropped. And I just shook my head. I said, I can't believe that the head official of the NFL had to actually have the have the nerve to put that in black and white in print and distribute that to whoever he just got distributed to. I mean, it's probably one of the most asinine things I've ever heard. How can the punter be defenseless? He wears pads. He wears a helmet. He does make tackles on occasion, not all the time, but he does make tackles, and he's the last line of defense. So he has all these advantages, and also he has the added advantage that you can't hit the punter because he's considered defenseless, like a quarterback after he throws the ball, like a wide receiver when he's in a compromising position, or. I can't believe. I mean, it is what it is, but it really doesn't make that much sense to me. Maybe they're going to change it. I haven't heard a retraction saying that the so-called quote was taken out of context. But it is what it is, and I'm pretty sure most players that play in the NFL or even high school or college don't consider the punter after he punts the ball as being defenseless. I mean, they consider him to be just like a field goal kicker, a place kicker, you know, guys that put in short time what they do, and then they go off and play play PlayStation or Xbox or go golfing or whatever, depending on where they live and the climate they live in. But when they're on the field, they don't. I'm pretty sure they don't consider them defenseless, because there's plenty of punters that have knocked out. And when I say knockout, I'm talking about knock them out of bounds or make tackles from guys who have received a punt and are able to get past the other 10 guys on the team, and the punter is the only one left. So he can hit people, but no one can hit him. That makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Anyway, let's move on to another NFL subject that I want to talk about. Brandon Browner, the troubled Seattle Seahawks, one of among other Seattle Seahawks that have gotten busted this year and in past years for banned substances, whatever it was. Well, this time, Browner was facing a one-year suspension, okay? Well, let me put it this way. He was facing a lifetime suspension, okay? And the NFL offered to downgrade that to a one-year suspension. And in his infinite wisdom, I could be wrong, but in his infinite wisdom, he vowed to continue his fight, his indefinite suspension for a violation of the league's substance abuse policy. With the recourse that if nothing happens or the NFL doesn't reverse their decision, he's willing to take this to the next step, which is to sue the NFL in order to get the suspension lifted. His suspension is effective immediately, and it's without pay, and quite naturally, his contract is up. So this could, in fact, end his NFL career, and quite naturally, he ended his career with the Seattle Seahawks already. Excuse me, already. So now he's going to sue them. So my thing is this. Has it come to this that these guys, and this is not the first time, quite naturally, that's why he's getting this lifetime ban or indefinite suspension. These guys, now because they knew the policy when they signed up, they definitely knew the policy when they got suspended the first or second time. And this is the third time for Brandon Browner. That's why it's so lengthy. Now he's going to think about or go through the process of suing the NFL to get back into the league. Has it come to that? Now, these guys knew it. They signed a piece of paper along with the contract, and they agreed to it. Now, because it's these circumstances, he's going to try to sue. Jeff, talk to me. What's going on here? Sue? I mean, you signed up.
Well, you know what, though? The thing is, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goody Two Shoes, has this perception that he doesn't respect due process. And I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with all the small details. And if this young man did not receive due process, then maybe his best recourse would be to seek legal action against the NFL. I mean, I guess he doesn't have a lot of other options. I think in the past he would have been able to go up to Canada. The money isn't as good up there, and I think now they made an agreement where they won't take suspended American players. I think that was after Ricky Williams they made that agreement. But what has he got to lose, you know? I mean, they're taking his livelihood away from him. So I don't know what his basis is, but I think sometimes Roger Goodell acts with too much authority, and when they did the new collective bargaining agreement, they let him keep that authority. It really didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Black, talk to me. He had an appeal. His appeal was denied. They offered him a deal, and now he didn't want to take the deal, and now they not even laid the hammer down. Talk to me.
Man, Brian DeBrown, I haven't seen that guy in the league in a long time. He was a good corner, good safety back there. He's showing the league. I don't know how that's going to help. This is going to be a long process showing the league. There'll be back and forth. It's going to be anything that gets resolved quickly. And if it does, his career is probably done anyway.
Yeah. All right. I had alluded to it in my opening monologue, but I'm going to go this route because I'm dying to get one of my co-hosts' opinion on this. And now, since I said that, he probably knows I probably let the cat out of the bag. Anyway, last week, the Dallas Cowboys were hosting. We're hosting the Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packers up 26-3 at halftime. 26-3 at halftime. So what happens in the second half? DeMarco Murray gets the ball. He's been tearing them up in the first half, killing them running the ball. DeMarco Murray only gets the ball handed to him 7 times in the second half. Slowly but surely, painstakingly, Green Bay chops down that lead. And in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken, they scored 20 points in the fourth quarter, take the lead 37-36. And near the end of that game, one of the plays that was called for the Dallas Cowboys while they were possessing the ball and on the move with a possibility of scoring at least a field goal, which would made it a two-possession game, if I'm not mistaken. Tony Romo decides to opt out of the run play and use a flash play, meaning that it's one-on-one with Miles Austin, and Miles Austin does a go or whatever it is. And Tony Romo is supposed to take a one-step drop, and throw the ball, knowing that Clay Matthews on the left-hand side is going to be unprotected, so he has to make that throw with a one-step drop. So what happens? He snaps the ball. Clay Matthews, right on cue, comes at him. Tony Romo dodges Clay Matthews without getting rid of the ball. Does a 180, a 360, whatever you want to say it was, and then looks like it was a blind pass, just throws the ball in the direction of Miles Austin, and quite naturally, he was short. So the DB that was covering Miles Austin had an easy pick. Now, that was the second of the two, and it could have been three, interceptions that Tony Romo threw with less than 3 minutes left in the game. That last one sealed the win for the Green Bay Packers. Quite naturally, that was another meltdown for Mr. Tony Romo. Black.
Yes.
Your owner said he had all the faith in the world in Tony Romo and his coaching. He said some other things. Talk to me, Black. Has Jerry Jones lost his damn mind? Or, well, you tell me, Black.
When Jerry Jones came out, like Marcy Kiffin, that's when I knew he belonged in the old man's home. And I haven't watched the game since. So I can't tell you anything that happened in that Green Bay game because I wasn't watching. And just like this weekend, I won't be watching. But one thing I do know, if you want to talk about Texas teams, please don't forget about your 2-12 Houston.
Well, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it because the fact is I watched that game and I could not believe my Cowboy friends.
I've concerned them all. I've seen enough. The show is not going anywhere. So once he back kicking, I shut it down. Until
okay.
I see some type of change or a GM, I just won't watch any Dallas games now.
All right. Jeff, you have any thoughts?
You know, I want to give Black my sympathy because I've been through this with the Giants. They've had their share of collapses. Going back to when I was a kid, they were kind of known for it. And I swear to God, I was at the game, the Miracle of the Meadowlands, when I was 10 years old, when they all they had to do was kneel down. And they managed to mess that up. I'm not kidding. Giant Stadium must have had a million seats that day because everybody claims they were there. That was one of the first games I ever went to, and it was one of the worst. And I said to my dad, I said, let's go. It was like a minute left in the game. He's like, no, we got, you know, they could still blow it or something. He said something like that. And what do you know? And there's still conflicting versions of what happened. Very odd way to end the game when all you got to do is kneel down. And the quarterback hands off to the fullback's hip, and it bounces off, and unreal. And there have been many other giant collapses in the regular and the postseason. I'll tell you, this Dallas team this year, one of the worst NFL defenses I've ever seen in my life. I know they got a lot of guys out, but, you know, especially early in the season, sometimes NFL teams could find adequate players on the street, you know, guys who get cut by other teams. But the guys who Dallas picked up, they can't do squat. You know, I mean, the Giants, they made a trade during the season for John Beeson, who at the time was a backup in Carolina. And he's been one of the rare bright spots on the team this year, and I didn't really have – good feelings about that trade initially, but he stepped right in, been very productive, been a leader. And I hate to say, I mean, Monty Kiffin was a great coordinator, but, you know, maybe he's seen better days. And I'm not sure what the problem is, but that is a horrible, horrible defense. But, you know, it's a team sport. There's plenty of blame to go around. I remember when the Giants blew that big lead against San Francisco in the playoffs, and everybody blamed the snapper for the bad snap, but, you know, if that offense could have picked up one first down, that could have been the ball game. If Jeremy Shockey doesn't drop one in the end zone, that's the ball game. You know, if the defense makes one stop, that's the ball game. So there's plenty of blame to go around.
Okay. Well, we got another caller in here. He's a friend of the show and a regular caller. Macau, what's up, my man? How you feel?
What's going on, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Hey, Macau.
Whoa, who is this?
This is Macau.
Macau, the resident.
Oh, man.
The resident redskin. Yeah, that will be me.
What's going on, man?
Man, what ain't going on, man? What ain't going on? You know, this is a pitiful year. This is a pitiful year for everybody. I am just dumbfounded by all the stuff that's going on here, and the circus just continues. There's some solace in all of y'all teams. There's solace in Houston Texans. You know, they got rid of their coach. You know, so they can still sell some hope. The Giants, you know, they're going to come back. It's no doubt. They're going to come back. It's about time for them to retool. They done ran it. So it's solid there. The Cowboys, they being who they are. You know, it's simple. It's time for them to do it. You know, they've been doing it for the past 4 or 5 years. Nobody can be surprised. The deep red skin thing, I have never seen such a circus in my life, man. I have never seen a circus in my life. And I don't know who, what stories to believe, because some of the stories that come out, they got inconsistencies in the story, and then they come back and clear up the inconsistencies. But if you're reporting, Slim, why you got inconsistencies in your story? Why you got to come back and correct it 2 and 3 and 4 times? And then some of these stories, they don't even pass the sniff test, and then they saying, you know, then you got people throwing out Shanahan, putting it out, and then you got people saying, Robert Griffin and his father putting out stuff, man. This show is just, this has gotten to an epic level of trash here, down there in Trashburn, man. Trashburn is just disgusting right now. I don't know who to believe, what's going on, but I have just tuned out.
Hey, Mikhail, you don't need to believe anybody, man. What are you doing Sunday at 1 o'clock? I'd like to invite you to go Christmas shopping with me.
Hey, look. I'll go Christmas shopping with you. We got 36 million. I got a chance. So, send a beat for that.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you about your Redskins, but...
You can ask me.
I'm going to ask you. What do you think about Kirk Cousins in there now, for one, and also about the staple for umpteenth years who said he's going to hang his cleats up? I'm talking about London Fletcher.
Oh, London Fletcher?
Yes.
The Fletcher story has just been like the only like shining light. You know, Kirk Cousins, I think he played very good, but he still showed the same thing. To me, it's even with Robert. So it's not the problem is the system and the coaching. You know what I mean? While he put up good numbers, man, he got the ball out, he got that sack. Had 2 interceptions, and they still lost the game. You know what I mean? There are bright spots in, you know, in a few games here and there with Robert Griffin. So that it's still a toss up to me. I mean, he really didn't show me nothing. You know what I mean? They look like the offense looks more ramped up or whatever, but it's still a wash. I'm happy
it was all good a season ago.
Fletcher
those
getting
same
good
coaches
publicity
and players.
From him leaving and retiring and stuff. I mean, when the only news that you had to hear about a guy that's going to retire after, you know, so many years, and you know it's bad. It's real bad out here, man. Real bad.
My question to you. In your honest opinion, does Mike Shanahan come back to coach this team?
Definitely. Mike Shanahan will be the coach. You could quote me on that in caps. You should not be surprised to see him as the coach for the Washington Redskins. You should be surprised if they fire him.
Why is that?
Because none of the about 95% of these stories that's going around out here, man, got no truth in them. None of them. You can't find the truth. It's like you just reading somebody speculating some information and then covering their ass at the same time. Right? I mean, I've never seen such nonsense in my life. I have never seen. This is just crazy. You got people. Which one you want me to go at? You can pick one.
I'm picking the one that with the one about Robert Griffin and his father. What story are you talking about there?
The Bleacher Report. Come on, man. That report is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? The only thing I think about that report, the only person that benefits from that report is Mike Shanahan. So I can see where people are saying that Mike Shanahan is leaking that type of information out, right? But why is this stuff going on? Has been to one game, right? And with the one game in particular, he went and visited Robert after the game. You know, and his son got beat up in the game. That's it. That's all. And then in that Bleacher Report, the guy had like two or three inconsistencies. He talked about how Matt LaFleur was down on the sidelines, but the dude was in the press box. You know what I'm saying? And he's saying that the dude was saying all this stuff about RG3 mechanics, this, that. And the dude don't teach like that. I have never heard Matt LaFleur anywhere. I didn't even think the dude was doing anything. That dude is a glorified lover. He passed himself as a journey. This is crazy. All this nonsense coming out. But you don't know what to believe. You got no ironclad sources. Everybody saying this and saying that. You got Shanahan saying one thing. You got Robert Griffin saying another thing. You got the owner not saying nothing. You got GM not saying nothing. It's crazy, man. So the only thing I can go off is fact. Fact number one, Mike Shanahan has a guaranteed contract for this year and next year, right? The owner has not said anything, nothing. If the owner fires him, he's going to have to pay that $7 million. I don't got him doing that. I really don't have him doing that. He done did that too many times. I don't think he's going to do it again. And he's going to have a whole lot of legal trouble if he does that nonsense. And then, two, he won't shake what he's shaking in the past 4 years as being a meddlesome owner. People saying that dog won't hunt. For the last 4 years, he's done everything that Mike Shanahan asked him. He built a practice bubble. He built a training facility. He revamped the whole weight room and everything. Everything that Mike Shanahan asked. So that dog won't hunt. The worrisome part is Mike Shanahan. He is so duplicitous. He say one thing, say another, and say something else, and say something else. The only good thing about that is nobody knows what's going on in Redskin Park except for them. The bad part about it is, how can you lead men like that? You know what I'm saying? How can you can't lead men like that? So it just keeps coming back to Mike Shanahan. This whole debacle is coming. It started with him, and it rolled on down. Man. It's just a mess. Shut up.
Okay.
All
right. Well, let's move on here. And we got about a little more than 10 minutes left in the show. And I want to talk about this guy because, in my opinion, like a lot of other people thought, that he made a miraculous comeback from an Achilles injury and was playing. I wouldn't say he was playing at his normal level, but he was playing. He wasn't playing that bad. Now I'm talking about Kobe Bryant. Turns around and hurts his knee and is expected to miss at least 6 weeks with a fracture of the lateral tibia plateau in his left knee. Now, there's a lot of miles on those legs. I think these tires are pretty worn and are going to, well, I would say going to, have been failing him last year, and now he's got this this injury this year. And he's going to be out for 6 weeks, and then he's got to fight his way back from that, and still deal with his Achilles. Is Kobe Bryant done? That's my question. Is Kobe Bryant done? Because if he comes back from this, I can see something else happening to him before the end of the year. I'm going to go with Jeff because I haven't heard from Jeff in a while. Then Macau, and then Black.
Well, maybe Kobe Bryant, as we grew to know him, is done. I mean, like you said, this man has played a lot of basketball. I mean, he went straight to the NBA and played a lot of minutes, a lot of games, a lot of playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, he was good up to last year. He was playing good ball right before he got hurt. But sometimes it almost seems like these guys could go forever, but nobody wins the war with Father Time. You could hold them off, but, you know, you can't win forever.
Macau.
Yeah, I am so with Jeff right now. I mean, Kobe has given us many, many years of display of his talent. Proud of him and whatnot, you know what I mean? He definitely is a warrior, but he's not going to beat Father Time, man. He's not going to beat Father Time. I would be really surprised if Kobe comes back before the 29th. I would be really, really surprised. But he's got nothing to prove to me no more. You know what I'm saying? I think it's more so, man, you got to fight yourself now, man. Because you can't turn that off. You cannot turn that off. And we start with Michael. You know, now we're going to see it with Kobe, but we're going to see it in a different light. I mean, oh, man, you know, I just pray for him, you know. But like Steph said, man, he's got a lot of basketball mileage. That's a lot. It's a lot. And that's a tall task to ask to beat Father Time. Come back at 35 and 36 and 37. Ooh. I don't know, man.
Black.
I think the Mamba is going to go overseas. Get some type of secret HGH put in that knee. Come back and play it off like he's been drinking gallons of milk. And he'll be right back in the league.
Well, I still pose this question. Is he done? Do you think he's done? Do you think that...
I don't think he's done. These are two terrible setbacks for him, but he still has a lot of basketball in those old balls.
See, you know what, Jerry? I'm so scared to say that he's done. Cause, you know, I'm the same dude that said Peyton Manning is done. You know what I'm saying? I'm that same dude. You know what I mean? I am that guy. That was me. I can't say it. But I say you this. In Kobe's mind, he ain't done. He's not done in his mind. I don't know about his body.
Well, if no one else has said it, I think he said it. I'm going to say it. I think this is what you're going to see from Kobe. You're going to get a few weeks of all right play, because I don't think he's going to be back to where he was before he got the Achilles injury. And then you're going to get a series like you're doing now of injuries. Now, he's got an Achilles. That's a major injury. Now he's got a fractured of the lateral tibia plateau. That's nothing to sneeze about. What else is going to happen? He's 36, 37, 35, somewhere around there. So he's an older
35.
Basketball player. 35. He's an older basketball player, and he's probably older than his 35 years because he's played so much. Because he just came like he was alluded to, that he came right out of high school to the NBA. And
he came in at
18
or 16?
No, he was 18 or 19 when he came into the league, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So 16 years into the league. I mean, that's a lot of playing, practice, regular season, playoffs, Olympics, because he played in the Olympics too. That's a lot of wear on them tires. That, to me, he's a 35, 36-year-old basketball player. That's like a running back that's 30 years old, 31 years old. They're ready to – and the only reason that he hasn't been put out to pasture, in my opinion, because he's got that moniker. He's the Black Mamba. He's Kobe Bryant. If it was any other player that didn't have the star status that Kobe Bryant had, I don't think he would be in the league, because the fact is the process it takes for the Achilles to come back. Now he's got this fracture of his knee, and he's going to be going for 6 weeks. What's going to be the next major thing that's going to happen to him after he comes back and plays a little bit? Because I guarantee you, I can almost guarantee you, put money on it and cash in, that once he comes back, gets in quotes basketball shape, something else is going to happen. Because he's at that stage in his life right now that no matter what he does, and just like Jeff alluded to, you can't hold back Father Time. And Father Time is telling him, you better look for another occupation, son, because this one is coming to a close very shortly. So
all the Mamba has to do is make one call to Kevin Garnett, and he'll be fine.
One call to Kevin Garnett, and what would that do?
He'll be fine. He'll learn all the secrets of Kevin Garnett.
Okay. Now,
Gnat is very, very long in the tooth, and he's still in the league. So that those guys are converting. Trust me.
Okay. Well, I got 3 minutes here, and I want to talk about this real quick. I was on the show over the weekend. I think it was Sunday. And Macau was on it because he can attest to it, because he gave his opinion on the Andre Broner fight. Okay, I have yet to watch the fight. Your cousin Vic Macau asked me if I had seen the fight. Texted me if asked me if I had seen the fight today, which I had. But I can find that fight, a replay of that fight on YouTube. So either tomorrow or Saturday, I'm going to be talking about what I thought of what happened in that fight, Adrian Broner, who supposedly got his butt kicked, give my opinion on that fight. So I'm going to be watching that fight after I get off this program from start to finish, and then I'll be able to give a better assessment of what I saw. Talk to
you, Cal. Don't forget my cousin's argument that it was a destruction. But, you know, it wasn't a destruction. It was an ass whooping, but it wasn't no destruction.
Okay.
I honestly think he did not. He got full of himself, man. He didn't got full of himself. Because it's no way he should have lost that fight. No way he should have lost that fight.
Please.
No way.
Please. Do you know about Madonna?
Yeah, I know about Madonna. I know about Madonna.
Do you know he had 31 knockouts before this fight?
Yeah, man, I know about him, but...
And you actually sat in front of your TV and you watched Adrian Broner rap all the way to the ring. You really thought this guy was 30?
Look. Look, all he had to do was box him, man. All he had to do was box him, man. He kept trying to sit up in that joint and wreck with him, and, you know, and he couldn't drop him. Because you see that, at the end,
did we watch the same fight? You said he tried to wreck with him? Broner,
Say that again.
He rarely throws punches. That was you saying he tried to wreck with him.
That's what I'm saying. If you rarely throw punches, what? I mean, and then, hold on. First off, his boxing style is off like crazy. He got like a boxer stance, but he wants to sit there and slug with you. That's crazy. That's crazy, man. You know it and I know it. And I'm like, what is this boy doing? Box him. Stop trying to get in there and wreck with him, because that boy got that. Medina got some powerful hands now.
You know what happened to Broner early? Those angles that Medina was throwing those punches from totally confused him.
Right. No, I think he totally misjudged. Terrible.
All right. We come to the conclusion of the show. I'm going to go to round the horn. I haven't heard from Jeff in a while, so I'm going to Jeff to close this, give his closing statement before we go to Macau and then Black and myself. Talk to me, Jeff.
Well, I hope everybody good luck if they're still playing fantasy in Week 16. Even if you're just in the consolation playoffs, I think it's important that you show up and at least go through the motions. And I think that's also true for NFL teams. So I hope my favorite team, the New York Giants, when they go to Detroit on Sunday, that they show up, because they're getting paid. You know, it's the right thing to do, and I know they've been playing lousy, but I don't want to see them roll over and give an easy victory to Detroit, because it affects the playoff status of other teams. And the Giants, they do have a good track record for playing well in, quote, meaningless games. They can't get any worse than they were last week, so, but, yeah, that's about it. Merry Christmas, everybody.
All right, Macau.
I want to say Merry Christmas to all, and I want to point out to you, Jerry, did you hear the sharp analysis that came from the brother Black about that fight? Did you hear the sharp analysis?
Yes.
There's a striking contrast between his analysis and my cousin's analysis.
Yes.
But I want to say peace and blessings to everyone. Shout out to Too Sweet. Be easy, Jeff. Jerry. You have a happy and merry Christmas.
Black. Don't forget, my man. Sunday, 1 o'clock. We have smoke. Oh man, everybody, man, merry Christmas. Look like the Wizards are just, yes, the Wizards. Man, we're coming back. We on that comeback trail. Everybody's healthy now. Championship boxing. I forgot to put this out there. Championship boxing return to the D.C. area. The return to Lamont Peterson on the Showtime card, January 25th at the D.C. Armory. I'm currently acquiring credentials for this fight, so you might see a boy on TV like the last fight. Who knows? But if you're in the area, come on down. Come support Lamont. He's fighting January 25th, D.C. Armory. And I cannot leave without praying back to the fantasy gods. Thank you, fantasy guys. You put me into the finals. I need you guys one more time, especially on Sunday. I got one guy going Monday, but if you could take care of me on Sunday, I think Monday would take care of itself. I pray to you everything is in your hands.
Boy, you are begging. You are begging. You are begging. Anyway, I have to say, just like Macau, peace and blessings. I want to wish everybody a happy holiday. Whether you celebrate Christmas or not, you celebrate that day in a different way. I want a healthy and happy holiday. Hopefully, hear you. Have you come back? You guys come back on Thursday, and also you listeners come back in one piece and healthy next week. Tune in 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The FSP show will be here the day after Christmas, which will be the 26th. Tune in tomorrow, because I can almost guarantee Mac and I are probably going to be talking about this Adrian Broner fight, because I want to bring it up to him. because he's had a few things to say on Facebook about it to whoever he was conversing with on Facebook. And that's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time be the FSP show, where I will be the co-host. Vic Gardner will be the host, and we will definitely be in a heated conversation on whatever subject comes up. And then on Sunday, the master plan. One final, on week 16, one final helping hand. Hopefully, you don't need a helping hand, but if you do, I'm there for you, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. You guys, enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Enjoy the football, even if you're not in fantasy. And without further ado, we're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics.